Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
Well, we are winding down our study of the first indictment of God against His people Israel through the prophet Malachi. In the book of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, that contains seven or eight indictments of God against His people Israel. And the first one is a charge of unrequited love. I have loved you, says the Lord. And Israel's response is, wherein have you loved us? Where is the evidence of your love for us? We don't see it. Incredible. But that's their response, indicating that God sees the heart and He knows there's a problem, and He's putting His finger right upon their problem. But He offers evidence to demonstrate His love for them in that challenging statement, found first in Malachi and then repeated in the New Testament. But this statement, was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord, yet Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. And we have worked our way through that statement, and we have also drawn some principles from that statement, and we need finally to make a few applications before we lay this one aside and move on to the second indictment. So thank you for joining me on this Tuesday, September 10. And many thanks to those who make it possible by your financial gifts to the Beacon Broadcast. Well, we have learned in this passage that God's love is particular, not universal. He set His love upon Jacob in a way that was far different from the love that He manifested toward Esau. And some would say there was no love toward Esau at all. We don't want to get back into that. But at any rate, there certainly is a great contrast between the love of God directed to Jacob and his descendants, and Esau and his descendants. We further learn that God's choice of Jacob was undeserved love. Wasn't anything in Jacob that caused God to love him. We further learn that God's hatred, which he declares his hatred toward Esau, Jacob have I loved, but Esau I have hated. But God's hatred is not bitterness, it's not malice, it's not even emotional aversion. All of these things would characterize our hatred. But it is this decision to allow, in this case Esau, or the nation of Edom, to go its own way. It's a decision to leave them alone. It's a decision not to interfere with their bad choices and bad decisions, but to let them do what they want to do and suffer the consequences of their own wrongdoing. That's what it is. What do you call that? In this passage, it's called hate. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. But there are probably other terms that could be given to that as well. So, what applications, and I didn't give you all the lessons, just a few, but what applications should we draw from this? Well, the first one is that great spiritual liability comes in failure to acknowledge and rehearse the blessings of God. That was Israel's problem. I have loved you, says the Lord, yet you say, in what way have you loved us? We don't see it. Why don't you see it? Well, clearly they had not been counting their blessings. as we have been taught to do in the song, count your blessings, name them one by one. And more importantly, as we are taught to do in Scripture that tells us repeatedly that we are to do everything with thanksgiving. And when we fail to acknowledge and rehearse the blessings of God and give thanks for them, it brings great spiritual damage, great spiritual liability to our souls. We'd better heed the admonitions of Scripture to be thankful, to express our thanksgiving frequently, to rehearse our blessings, to name them before God, to give Him thanks on a daily basis. To fail to do so is great sin, and to fail to do so is great spiritual liability to your own spiritual health. When we think of sin, we generally think of things like adultery and murder and theft and lying, perhaps, and stealing, which of course are all sins, but we tend not to think about this as being a very serious sin. Yes, it is, for a lot of reasons. It is a sin that greatly dishonors God, but it is also a sin that brings great spiritual liability to our own health and well-being. Another application, I think, is the need to understand the difference between judgment and discipline. And where do I get that? The difference between judgment and discipline, or if you prefer, the word chastening, the difference between judgment and chastening. The Bible tells us, whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. God declares in this passage that He loves Jacob. God also has demonstrated that in His love for Jacob, He has chastened them. He caused them to be carried away into Babylonian captivity. Now, that was after a long, 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 long period of their dereliction from which they would not be recovered, for which they rejected the entreaties of prophet after prophet that God sent to them, until eventually God rained down this severe judgment upon them. But it was a chastening, not a judgment, though we use the word judgment, and we're not wrong in using that word, but I'm trying to make a fine distinction that I think is important. To understand the difference between judgment and chastening, because Edom was judged and destroyed, but Israel was chastened and restored. And that's the point I'm getting at here. As we continue reading in the indictment in Malachi chapter 1, verses 2 and following, we find that Edom receives similar treatment as did Israel in the destruction that comes upon her from other nations and her endeavor to be restored. Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord, yet Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated, and laid waste his mountains and his heritage for the jackals of the wilderness. Well, how did God do that? Well, by allowing neighboring countries to conquer them militarily, to win wars against them militarily. Then verse 4, even though Edom has said, we have been impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places, thus says the Lord of hosts, they may build, but I will throw down. They shall be called the territory of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord will have indignation forever. And your eyes, Israel, shall see, and you shall say, the Lord is magnified beyond the border of Israel. Magnified in what? Magnified in bringing just and righteous judgment upon a nation that richly deserved it. But you see, again, it would be difficult to say that Edom deserved it any more than Israel did. But in the case of Israel, God chastened them severely, allowed them to be conquered militarily more than once, and finally the Babylonian conquest that destroyed the temple and the city of Jerusalem and carried them away captive. Great judgment, and there I use the word judgment, great judgment, great destruction, but God restored them. And so the difference between judgment and chastening is that Edom was judged and destroyed. Israel was chastened and restored. And that's the difference when we think in the New Testament statement, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And scourges, that is, spanks severely, whips, every son whom he receives. Now, when you're being chastened by the Lord, it doesn't often look any different from the kind of judgments that fall upon unbelievers. In fact, sometimes it appears to even be more severe. But here's the difference. Here's the difference. Those whom the Lord loves, he chastens for the purpose of restoration. He chastens to bring repentance, to bring humility, to bring a desire to be restored. And then he honors that desire by bringing restoration. God chastens in order to sanctify. God chastens in order to restore. But when God judges, he judges and destroys. There is no restoration from that. That's the difference between judgment and chastening. Now, a third application would be the need to see the evidence of God's love in spiritual more than temporal dimensions. The reason that Israel had trouble seeing the love of God, I have loved you, says the Lord, yet you say, in what way have you loved us? And the reason they had trouble seeing it is because they were evaluating it totally in terms of material prosperity. And when we look at that as the primary evidence of God's blessing, we'll substitute the word blessing in the place of love, but we understand that they're linked together. But when we see material prosperity is the primary evidence of God's blessing, and the lack of spiritual blessing as the primary evidence of God withholding blessing, then we're missing the point. We need to see the evidence of God's love in spiritual more than temporal dimensions. Herein is love. In what? In that God gave his Son. What greater love is there than that? What greater love can be displayed than a man lay down his life for his friends? That's the greatest evidence of love. For God so loved the world, what? That he gave his only begotten Son. Not for God so loved the world that he poured out material blessings upon it, though indeed he sends his rain and his sunshine upon the just and the unjust alike, as Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5. But the greatest evidence of God's love is the giving of his Son. It's a spiritual blessing. God gave his Son. God quickened us from death to life. God brought us out of darkness into light. There's the evidence. Do you want to know where the evidence is of God's love for you? Has God quickened you to life? Do you have spiritual life? Do you have spiritual understanding of the Word of God? Do you have an appreciation for the gospel? Do you have an appreciation and love for the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have a desire to understand the Word of God? Where did all those things come from? They didn't come from you. They came from God. They are spiritual blessings that are evidences of God's love. A great love that has been set upon you. And when we see the evidence of God's love in spiritual more than temporal dimensions, then we will understand how greatly blessed, how greatly loved we have been by God. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.